This is Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. Every year, thousands of people in Massachusetts ask a court to force a loved one into addiction treatment under the state law called Section 35. We're one of the few states that uses prisons to house the men who are involuntarily committed. About 3,000 of those men have been committed to the Massachusetts Alcohol and Substance Abuse Center at a minimum security prison in Plymouth since it opened 2 years ago. But the safety and quality of treatment at these facilities are in question. WBUR's Deborah Becker spoke to Sean Wallace, who was sent to the Plymouth facility after it opened. In a 2017 interview, Wallace described what he went through as, quote, torture. He suffered methadone and drug withdrawals and was placed in segregation.
I was having delusions. I hadn't slept in so long that I wasn't doing well at all. And I was punished for not eating. That's how I ended up in the hole. If you refuse your tray, they consider it a behavioral issue. I didn't know that. I'm just sick.
Now, his family says they believe his time in prison led to him taking his own life last summer. Earlier today, we spoke with Sean's mother, Robin Wallace. She began by telling us about her son.
Sean was somebody who, as a kid, I'm sure that you hear this a lot, you know, he was good in school, he was good in sports, he was an easy kid to be around. He did have a little anxiety, and he had a little, I don't know if it was actually OCD, but he was very particular about being clean and having things the way that he thought that they should be. And when he got to be about 15 years old, he started to drink alcohol and experiment with drugs. And I think it was at that time that he became addicted to Percocet, prescription pain pills.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the big addiction for him.
And so what precipitated you seeking involuntary treatment for him then under Section 35? Was it that addiction to Percocet?
It was addictions to opiates. At that time, he had progressed to heroin. And he also, his behavior was erratic. I think that he had some mental health issues that were worsened by his use. And we had sectioned Sean in the past. I used to work at a Section 35 program for women. I used to be a clinical director at the WATC program in New Bedford. And I didn't have any concerns at that time regarding Section 35. I thought it was safe, and I thought that he would be well cared for.
So you say you worked, you know, in addiction treatment, and so I'm curious then, you say you thought he would be safe. So what surprised you about the treatment that he received?
I was concerned about Sean anyway, because having worked in the field for over 30 years, I couldn't conceive of a treatment program that wouldn't provide methadone as a maintenance drug. And Sean was on 120 milligrams of methadone. And when we were actually in the court and I had spoken with the clinician on duty and the judge, you know, told Sean that he was going to uphold the Section 35, Sean turned to me and said, you know, I'm not going to be getting methadone, don't you? And I thought that he misunderstood what the judge had said, because I couldn't conceive that there would be an opiate addiction or an opiate treatment program that did not provide medication-assisted treatment.
So, Robin, when your son Sean told you that, What was your reaction?
I thought that he was mistaken. I honest to goodness, I thought that he had misunderstood the judge. And when I left the treatment program, I was talking to somebody and they said, no, they don't provide methadone. They don't provide Suboxone.
And so knowing that, how do you think that experience changed your son?
I think that Sean was already filled with guilt and he was already filled with shame, because I know that he did not want to be a heroin addict. That was not a choice that he made.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the way he was treated was inhumane. I would equate it to almost being a prisoner of war, the kind of things that he talked about happening. He was not treated with dignity and respect. He did not receive any sort of addiction treatment while he was there. He did not meet up with a counselor. He was not given any kind of psychiatric oversight. His medical issues, I'm sure, were made much worse by the fact that he was on 120 milligrams of methadone and needed and was detoxing from that with no medication. And the way he described it is he was in solitary confinement. He was in a turtle suit, and this was because he had run from the facility.
Robin, I want to just say again, thank you for sharing your story with us, because I can hear in your voice the difficulty and the pain here. And so I want to say thank you for being so open about this with us. And suicide is a difficult, complicated thing that has many factors, including mental health that you're telling us about. And so I just wonder, in your view, how all this impacted Sean and what went wrong for him.
Well, I think what went wrong is that there were several things that were wrong. I think being treated like a prisoner was wrong. Not receiving substance use, addiction treatment, that was wrong. I think to be punished the way that he was wrong. I think that the courts not passing on the information about him having psychiatric and medical issues, that was a big problem. So I think that there were a lot of problems along the way.
And Robin, I know we had some technical changes here, and so thank you for sticking with us through that, and also this, again, very painful story. And I want to ask you, knowing what you know now, would you seek involuntary treatment for your son again?
You know, when I first started to work for the Section 35 program, because I had been in addictions treatment for a long time, and I thought that there were some really positive aspects of it. And one of the positive aspects is that it's very difficult for people to get treatment right now through the ordinary. We're still using systems that were around since the 90s to get people into treatment. So it's very difficult for people to get into treatment sometimes. So I thought that one of the things about the Section 35 program was that it would offer more people access to treatment. I think that the Department of Corrections has no business being in the addiction treatment field or providing any kind of addiction treatment. It's not what they do, and it's not what they should do. And my firm belief is that it should be taken out of the prison in Plymouth. I think that that's a horrendous program, and I think that there have been a lot of people that have been hurt there.
So you wouldn't have done it again?
I would not have done it if I thought that that's where he was going to go. It led to his kind of, there was a certain kind of death where he lost hope.
Yeah.
And where he felt like he'd never be the same person again. So there was that death. And then actually in September, he actually took his own life. Right. And he took his own life after being incarcerated without methadone.
You said your son Sean lost hope, and I'm just wondering, finally, what you would say to other families out there who are listening and perhaps dealing with a loved one who is struggling with mental health and addiction, and might also feel that they've lost hope. What would you say to them?
I would say to parents, that you do the best that you can, that you try to connect with other people and talk to other people, and that you speak out. When there's a program such as the MassEd program, you speak out to help other parents and to help other people who are suffering from the disease of addiction.
Well, Robin Wallace, the mother of Sean Wallace, thank you for speaking out and speaking to us today on Radio Boston.
Thank you.
To hear more reporting on Sean Wallace's story and WBUR Deborah Becker's reporting on Section 35, visit our website, radioboston.org. And I should note that the State Department of Correction declined to be interviewed for Deborah Becker's story, but they did give WBUR a statement saying that its mission at the Massachusetts Alcohol and Substance Abuse Center is to promote public safety by providing a, quote, safe, secure, and structured environment for patients to safely detox. And listeners, if you or someone you know may be considering suicide, contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. That's 1-800-273-8255. Or you can text the crisis text line at 741-741. Stay with us. There's more Radio Boston ahead. I'm Jamie Bologna.
Wait, don't go yet.
Because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.